Turn your tax refund into new tile at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. We carry a great selection of over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from. Head into Menards and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your tile project today. Save big money at Menards.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here. Well, what the hell? Let's chatting. Do it for 3 hours. We're just chatting away in here. Barry and I were talking regularly.
Yeah.
And I was just getting the rest of my stuff set up. And all of a sudden, I thought Patrick Creighton was next to me. Barry's like, you know, I love how these days. I'm like, I love how when your noise protecting canceling headphones are on, you are screaming at me.
I can't hear myself, so it's like it gets a little loud.
Okay? I can't hear myself.
I'm almost back, bitch. Okay, let me tell you something right now.
That was like a donkey from like Winnie the Pooh.
All right, both of y'all kiss my ass.
How you feeling? I feel like there's some progress in your voice.
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling really good.
I can hear some progress.
I still can't get like real high, yeah, but I'm good.
Yeah, you still sound like garbage, but there's progress. Oh yeah.
Look, I got one good clear out of the way. Now, look, how much better is that, huh? Look at that.
A little bit better.
Yeah,
a little bit better.
That's what I'm talking about. What?
I just
had to get one good clear out of the way. Now we're good to go.
Okay.
Let's roll.
Hey, let's do this.
3 hours of fun.
Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Plenty to get to. Plenty to talk about. Looks like that carousel of coaching opportunities.
Boy.
Well, it's like musical chairs. Better jump on or it's time to get off because...
Climb on, brother.
Everybody is hiring today.
I'm just flabbergasted with all the hires, to be honest with you. I'm usually not a retread guy, but I'm also like, I don't know about taking some of these chances either.
Scratch your temple at a lot of them that went down today if you missed it. And the Mike McCarthy deal is now official. The press conference comes tomorrow in Dallas. Carolina, boy, if you're a Baylor Bear, you're not happy today because Matt Rhule, who was supposed to be going to the Giants.
Was he supposed to go there?
That's what everybody said.
Well, if he was going he was anywhere, on the list.
He had been there in the past, so they thought that there was a slam dunk if he was going to leave. And he told his team before the bowl game, look, I know it, but it's probably not going to happen. Obviously, when 7 years and $60 million is put on your doorstep and they came to see him.
Yeah.
They mean business.
Yeah, David Tepper was all over it and didn't want him to get on the plane to go to New York.
And here's the thing. He didn't get on the plane, but he picked up the phone and called Gettleman and the Giants and said, would you be willing to match? And they passed so that they could hire, wait for it, Joe Judge.
Who?
The special teams and wide receiver coach for the Patriots.
Never heard of him.
I heard on the Belichick tree. But what is this guy? Acorn on the last limb?
Boy, you're really reaching. There's low hanging fruit from the Belichick tree, and then there's this dude who's in the top where nobody was looking.
It's one where the squirrel's eating half of it and it's just hanging on by a thread on the Belichick tree.
I don't understand the hire from the Giants. They're becoming a laughing stock if they weren't already. And I just now he may turn out to be a great coach. I don't know the guy. That's the part of the problem. Right. No one knows the guy. No one. I don't think this was on anybody's radar.
He's 38 years old. Now he had interviewed with several teams in the past week.
Sure. Great.
To be honest with you, to your point, I saw these rumors going by about who the final three candidates are with certain jobs, and they said, and Joe Judge. And I was like, Joe Judge? Who's that?
He's the only one I don't recognize. Oh, that's Joe George. Never mind.
Yes. So when I saw it, I looked it up. I was like, you could have told me a million different things. Yeah. You could give me a million multiple choice. I would have known, would not have known that he was under the Belichick.
And then they're like, oh, well, he's the coordinator. I was like, oh, well, what? Wait a minute. What? He was a special teams coordinator and a wide receivers coach. And then you look at that and you think, this is who the Giants, of all of the candidates that exist on the planet, this is who the Giants feel like is the best person for the job. Not a guy with previous coaching experience like a Jason Garrett, who they want to be the OC, by the way.
But first, they had asked the Cowboys because Garrett's contract doesn't expire till the middle 14th. Of the month. So they had asked the Cowboys permission to talk to Garrett, as you talk about the ultimate retread, in your own division, and you want to interview Jason Garrett, Dave Gettleman, who's already behind the times, as he's proven with his comments in the past week or so on analytics, and we hired some computer guys.
Yeah.
Okay? But then you go and you have all these opportunities. Everything's in front of you. You wanted Garrett, and then you went with Belichick's wide receiver and special teams coach. I'll tell you this. The work he's done with Julian Edelman said head coach to me.
I just don't understand. Like, you look at the guys that exist. I mean, you had a Marvin Lewis that was available. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Jason Garrett. You had to wait 7 days. That's it. 7 days. We're talking a week.
If you're going to go to the Patriots tree, Josh McDaniels is there.
Exactly. Josh McDaniels is there. There was, you know, you Matt Rhule, obviously you weren't going to get. Lincoln Riley was a possibility.
Eric Bieniemy.
I'm sure that they talked to. Eric Bieniemy is another one. But it doesn't make any sense. It feels like a reach, like you're trying to find this diamond in the rough and be smarter. Like you're outsmarting everybody, but I think you just outsmarted yourself.
You know what I think it screams of too? Gettleman,
well, incompetence.
That too. But Gettleman being afraid of losing control to a very powerful, strong-minded coach. So he got himself a position coach so that he can still establish that he's in charge. As the GM, he's still the guy making the decisions. Because if you, with some of the names we threw out there, if you get a coach that has been in charge for many years with a franchise, even a Marvin Lewis, for example, Marvin Lewis is going to come knock on your door and go, no.
Right.
I want this guy or that guy or this guy. This way, Gettleman gets to keep it his way and do it his way, and this guy's just kind of, in his first gig, going to go along with everything that Gettleman says.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. There are a ton of guys out there that you could, I mean, they're the Niners defensive coordinator.
Robert Saleh.
Yep. Greg Roman's. I mean, there's just
Stefanski, the OC from the Vikings, who's going to interview with the Browns.
There's so many names. You mentioned Bieniemy earlier. There's so many names out there.
Yep.
This makes no sense to me.
And he's going
to
get eaten alive.
They deserve
it's New
what
York.
They get.
This is New York.
Yeah.
This isn't like you're in Carolina or Tampa or somewhere where they're just going to go, oh, you know, he made a mistake today. No big deal. Tomorrow's another day. Yeah. No, they are going to eat you alive and tear you apart in New York.
And you think that all those names that we just named, that this guy is better suited to run a football team, not just be a coordinator, to run a football team. All he's done is he worked under Saban and Bama for 3 years. He's been a special teams coordinator and a wide receivers coach. And then they said, oh, well, in his playing days, you know, he was a special teams guru. Like, he was a punt protector he held for field goals. This is your guy. This is your king.
They will lead the league next year, Barry, in punt coverage and kickoff returns.
It just is. It's amazing to me. You're a team that's 4-12. You need to be doing everything you can.
You know what this screams to me? Freddie Kitchens, the second act.
Yeah, it could be.
It just doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot
of
sense.
I mean, look, maybe we're all dumb. Maybe we're all
Possible.
The idiots, and Dave Gettleman and the Giants are smarter than anyone else in the National Football League.
I mean, we could be right, we could be wrong, but it does goes to show you how much being attached to name recognition helps as being a coach. Being attached to a name like Nick Saban, being attached to a name like Bill Belichick for all those years, it helps. It just helps. And then the whole never having head coaching experience kind of just goes out the window.
In fairness, we did this on Gettleman with the quarterback drafted in with Jones. Mm. So we were wrong there. He got it right there in terms of we've picked on Dave Gettleman in the past, and he got his draft right last year when everybody wanted to absolutely kill him. But at the same time, this one just has a bad feel to me. And obviously, we went from all these coaching vacancies now, the only one that's open and it seems fitting is the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I mean, and look how many. Is that the last one? This is the last
that's
coaching
the last
vacancy?
One. Cleveland Browns are the only one open now.
So you've got Josh McDaniels, we mentioned Bieniemy, the Niners coordinator, Ravens coordinator. Jason Garrett still out there. I mean, there's...
Well, now, Jason Garrett, who was going to be interviewed for the head job, is now being pursued to be the OC...
For the Giants.
For the Giants.
Stays in the division.
Yeah.
I find that to be interesting because if I'm Jason Garrett, I'm all over that. Because this guy, Joe Judge, just might be so incompetent that he may not last more than a year. And you're the head coach and waiting.
Yeah, for sure. This is the one that I always go to with the McHale hire, with the Daryl Morey philosophy, where you don't let your GM pick your assistants for that very reason. Because this is starting to become the trend where a guy who was the leading candidate or one of the leading candidates for the job doesn't get the head job, but the GM puts him on the coaching staff. Mario Elie told me this a long time ago when he was coaching in the league. Like, you think the team has to be coached, has to be tight and have chemistry? Coaching staff's the same way.
Yep.
You can't have leaks and you can't have guys that are on the fence or guys that aren't in your corner because the coaching staff are going to have hard decisions to make sometimes and they're going to have some discussions about players sometimes that are going to keep it real and they can't have it leak out and they can't have it get... And that causes a lot of dissension. That's why I think this is a bad move.
Yeah.
If Jason Garrett is your OC, you're right. I mean, how could you not look over your shoulder every day at the guy that well, if I screw up enough, there's the guy that's going to get the gig.
Yep.
So.
I mean, if I'm Jason Garrett, I'm all over that.
No doubt.
Make me the OC of the Giants with this schmuck that's never coached, you know, at a high level.
Yeah.
I'm all in. That's easy. That's easy money.
And especially if he's kind of outmatched and he starts leaning on Jason Garrett.
Yeah.
The other thing is Jason Garrett go to the GM, go, this guy's completely, he's an idiot.
Behind his back.
And look what I'm doing, and he can sell himself.
Yep.
So the Giants have looked like they continue to be the Giants, even though they have Daniel Jones, and they have Saquon Barkley, and they seem to have a young nucleus building. So like I said, the only coaching job that is now open in the NFL is the Cleveland Browns. So is the general manager job, but they say they're gonna hire a coach first. And somehow, just by default, where you think that most of the time when this situation happens, the best candidates go out the window, the Browns are sitting there with their pick of the litter, and they still got some pretty good choices.
Yeah,
because you just rattled them off a couple times.
Yeah,
to me, from a percentage standpoint of success versus failure, I think you have a lot more percentage to succeed with the guys that are remaining than taking Joe Judge with the Giants.
So if you're the Browns, who are you taking?
To be honest, because they've been such a laughing stock in both the front office and on the field, I'm going to take the combo platter, and I'm going to expect that if I take Josh McDaniels, that you're going to get Nick Caserio as well. Nick Caserio is going to come in, be your general manager, and now if you want the Patriots way with structure and the way it's coached and the way you handle the front office, now you get some stability just from that simple standpoint.
I think that's probably the safest. He's got head coaching experience. Maybe he learned from his mistakes in Denver. Because you saw that like with the Belichick, right? I mean, you saw what he did in Cleveland.
Right.
It wasn't great, you know, and maybe he learned from it. So it might be a similar thing. Like you said, that's a great point that you make about bringing Caserio along with you possibly to fill that GM role. Because when you look at the Greg Romans and the Robert Salias and all the other names that Eric Bieniemy, the one thing that stands out is they're really good coordinators and they should get an opportunity. But where this team is, they need something more. They need a little bit more at the top.
Yeah, there's just so many pieces that have gone wrong over the past, you know, umpteen hires in both the GM position and the head coaching job. I just feel like this is the time now where you have got to get stability.
Yeah.
And that's your best way to do it, especially because you're on the record as saying, I'm going to hire the coach first and have the coach's input on the GM. That's how you get the Patriots one.
That makes sense.
So, all right, we're just getting started here on The Usual Suspects. If you want to join the show, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Mm-hmm. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy, I switched about 3.5 years ago, and boy, am I glad I did. I just upped with them. They have saved me thousands off my previous energy provider, and they continue to do great customer service work for me and all the people in Houston that have signed up. And plenty of listeners have. P. Randizzle and others have signed up, asked me how to get involved with it. I said, call Josh, ask for him personally. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. He's going to set you up, get you the best plan they possibly can. And no matter who you get on the phone, they're going to ask you a lot of questions because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family, for your business? Until they can pinpoint the best rate and the best deal they can possibly give you. It's just the way they do it. And because they do it that way, you
get all the benefits. Mention ESPN 97.5, $25 bill credit on your first bill, and they go from there. You can check them out at infuseenergy.com, but I suggest you call because you'll find out quickly it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and the top rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, 5 out of 5 stars. 100% green energy at your fingertips as well. You won't go wrong if you infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, credibility is finally coming to the surface. El Jefe has sent us an Albert Breer note that says, Joe Judge was the Patriots coach identified as Aaron Hernandez's neighbor in the warrants.
I saw that tweet by Albert Breer.
Aaron Hernandez. So at least he's got that going for him. Now we got credibility.
Yeah,
now
right?
We got a guy that's top notch.
It's useless. A useless tweet. Useless information.
To me, now the Browns say, well, they're going to make a decision by Saturday. Okay. Well, we didn't know you were on a timetable before. And did you feel like you had to make that known simply because everybody just went on a frenzy today and got their coaches settled? If there's a guy that you're after and there's a guy that's still in the playoffs, I mean, that's the bigger issue that everybody needs to take a look at, because we've got some stuff coming up and some people are going to be pretty critical, including Stephen A. Smith, about the fact that in the hiring process, there weren't exactly a lot of African-Americans in the mix. There were some guys that were overlooked. However, a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, is still in the playoffs. A lot of the guys that you mentioned, Stefanski's with the Vikings, the two guys with the Niners. You're talking about all these different guys that would Greg Roman with the Ravens, but they're all involved with their teams. But the fact of the matter is, if you got a guy or guys that you think are going to give you a better chance to win, you can wait.
Right. You absolutely can wait. And AJ, we were talking during the break about that. And, you know, his point was, yeah, but if you wait, you run the risk of missing out. Well, look, there's only four teams that needed a head coaching job and that needed head coaches. And Dallas pulled the trigger right away on McCarthy. Mm-hmm. So you were down to three. It was the Giants, the Browns,
Carolina,
and Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wait, those names you just mentioned, without having to pull the trigger on a Matt Rhule or a Joe Judge, you could have had your pick of any of those coordinators, and I think any of them would make a fine head coach, or at least not given the opportunity to be a head coach.
Because it happens all the time, and you can look no further than when a coach that's coaching for an Ohio State or a big-time program gets another coaching job. They're on the recruiting trail.
Oh, yeah.
They're setting up their staff, but they're also working with their past team, which before it becomes their past team, on the bowl game, on the national championship game. Ohio State, look at Tom Herman. Tom Herman toughed it out until the end of the Ohio State run before he came to U of H. So text messages are a crazy thing.
Yeah.
While they're in their offensive meetings or defensive meetings, while they're with their current teams, you could say, hey, what's next? Who do you want me to contact in terms of a coaching job? What do you need here? What are you doing on your personnel side? There's a you can multitask.
Sure.
Get the guy you want, and just because it's not public doesn't mean you're not behind the scenes well out in front of what you wanted to do and who you wanted to get.
Yeah, those conversations are still taking place. I mean, just because they're not supposed to be taking place, there's something going on behind the scenes. You know that. You've been around.
That's what I'm saying. I've been in enough of those situations where you can say, well, you can't do this, or you know, it wouldn't be proper to do that. It's happening. Just like in free agency in every sport. If you think that these deals are getting done at 12:01 and in 60 seconds of time, when the deadline is over and free agency begins, that they got a deal done that quickly, high on crack. They've been talking about it for a week.
And the thing is you might have a team like the Giants who, you know, Gettleman might reach out to a Josh McDaniels and go, hey, you interested in interviewing? No, thanks. But that's that conversation that even when they're in the playoffs, it's like, hey, would you want to come in and interview when you guys are available? Nope.
We'll
not
wait
interested
if
in your
you
job.
Are saying you're interested.
Not interested
but
in your
if
job.
You're not, we move on.
So then you're like, okay, well, next. So those are some conversations that are going to take place before these teams get bounced. And, you know, some of them just maybe not interested. And that's what happened to the Giants is maybe people were like, nah, player, we don't. That's a mess over there. No, thank you.
Was it not Rhule that said he wasn't interested in the Browns? And he passed on an interview. Someone passed on a Browns interview where at least you know, hey, they picked, like you said, they picked up the phone and called. And they have a clear understanding. It's like the whole Garrett Cole thing when they traded for Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
You don't think they had conversations that said, hey, and if he was honest with them and said, hey, I love it here and I love you guys, but my dream's always been to play for the Yankees, or I've always wanted to play at home in California, that they went, well, you know what? We appreciate that. We're not going to say anything, but we're going to react because we need to move on and be prepared. And that's why I say, when you look at, and I always go lean back to what I know the best, which is the NBA, which is when you say free agency opens on July 1st at 12:01, and you see, and you see between 12:02, between midnight and 12:30, you got 6 or 7 deals already done. And if you think, God, they just picked up the phone as soon as they could and said, we'll offer you this and I'll take it.
You're crazy.
You're nuts. Yeah. That deal's been talked about for a week. And all the details, the parameters, and how many years, and the bonus structure, and everything else.
What is I don't know what the rule is, but can you talk to the agent? You maybe not be able to talk directly to the.
It's an interesting loophole. You're not supposed to.
But could you talk to the agent?
You're not supposed to, but if you were engaged, if you were engaged with a guy that is representing a guy that's already on your roster that's up for a contract,
I believe that includes the agent. I believe you can't talk to the
You're
agent,
not supposed to. That's what I'm saying. But say, Nick, that you represent one of the coaches that I'm interested in, and or you also represent one of the players whose contract's coming up. And I call you and I say, Nick, let's get ahead of the game. Let's get your guy re-upped. You know, we love what he's done for us. We're going to get you. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. All right, hey, before I let you go, your guy still interested in coaching on the head coaching level? We got an opening. You think he might be interested? Yeah, man, but it might take so-and-so so many years. And so, well, guess what?
Yeah.
I got just about that deal waiting for you. You think you'd be interested? Yeah, man. Okay. Well, we'll wait for you.
Yeah, we'll wait until we're allowed to have those discussions. Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I would imagine the rule would say you can't speak to the rep regarding that particular agent who's still under contract. You know what I mean? I mean,
you would think.
You would think. Right.
I have been on the golf course with certain members of said basketball side of things well before the deadline of free agency.
Knowing.
Going, hey, could you call your buddy? And could you see if he'd be interested in playing for us next year? Yeah. And if it could, would it, what would it take? So I know damn well it can happen.
Well, all this is going on. And on the other side, I want to play some audio for you.
Yeah.
Stephen A. chimed in. And you guys know.
Now, was it you or Stephen A.?
That's the best I can do. I can't do it like
That's
you, Joel.
Good.
But he had some things to say, and specifically about the Rooney Rule, and I think you're going to want to hear it. He went a little more. He got a little more passionate than even I thought he would.
Took a side that not many are willing to take.
Yep.
So we'll get to that next, as well as some other things. You want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Mm-hmm. Text or call that number, or hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel, Tuesday, big city. Lots going on in the NFL coaching carousel. Seats are filling up fast. Questionable decisions. Part of the questioning comes from the national media and others. We talked about the fact that there were a lot of guys that should have gotten a lot of consideration that are coordinators. However, they are still involved in the playoffs, so it's tougher to get to them, sit down with them, and get them to focus because of the fact that they have a team that they're worried about trying to get to the Super Bowl. With that being said, we mentioned Eric Bieniemy several times. He is one of, I'd say that there's quite a few African-American candidates that seem to be getting looked over again. Fair to say?
Quite a few, I don't know.
So you got Bieniemy.
Outside of Bieniemy.
You got my man, he was the defensive play coordinator, play caller for the Cowboys, who's been a very hot coaching candidate. I'll get it in a second. Over the last couple of years. And he was rumored to possibly be the heir apparent to the Cowboys job. So there's, I'm trying to go through, but there's a few. Okay.
Okay. Not a lot.
Okay.
I mean, certainly not a lot on the list that keeps popping up.
The interesting thing that you brought up was the lack of head coaches in the NFL that are of African-American descent.
So real quick, though, I want to get to the Stephen A. thing before we dive into that, because he kind of had a slant on this. And when the Giants announced their head coach and, you know, they talked about, because he came out and he was like the rest of us, I don't know who this is. But then he kind of took it a different direction and brought up the Rooney Rule. And it's a little lengthy, but I think it's worth listening to, because what he says, he's got some valid points and some things that I don't necessarily agree with. But this is what he said about the current state of coaching hiring in the NFL.
There is a Rooney Rule in place, and still this kind of stuff is happening. I want to announce on national television that I personally am going to take it upon myself, whether it's to communicate with the NFL league office, whether it's to communicate with owners, whether it's to sit up here and raise holy hell, whether it's to recruit my contemporaries in this business to address it. We got a problem. This is some BS. Ain't no way around this. We moving in a reverse direction. We moving in a reverse direction. Black men are not being treated fairly in the National Football League. Somebody got to say it. Somebody got to say, you got to be kidding me. When the stuff that has happened over the last year, for this stuff to go on and we just go sit up here and have a sports conversation. No, I ain't having no damn sports conversation at this particular moment. Something wrong. Now, the National Football League or somebody else, we got to change this Rooney Rule. It's bogus, clearly, because it's being bypassed. The original intent, what it was intended to produce, is being circumvented. And black men in the National Football League are being ostracized from key positions in the National Football League. Somebody needs to say it. The NFL, league owners, the world of sports talk television, sports radio, y'all are going to be hearing from me. Something got to be done. Something got to be done.
He's partially right. And here's why I say that. There are 32 teams in the NFL. There are three black head coaches. 10% of the head coaches in the NFL are black. Now, we talked about the candidates. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you have to look at is, of all the assistants, I would feel like there's probably more than 10% of the assistants.
Chris Richard is the guy I was thinking about with Dallas, Chris Richard, along with Eric Bieniemy.
And don't forget, Marvin Lewis is probably on that list.
Now, wait a minute.
I don't know if Hugh Jackson is on the list, but those are some names that you could at least bring in for an interview to comply with the Rooney Rule.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think Dallas only interviewed Marvin Lewis to comply with the Rooney Rule.
Absolutely. And that's part of the problem is you've mandated this and they're like, well, we did it, but we're not serious about it. And it having a Rooney Rule doesn't change an attitude. It doesn't change a mindset, right? It's like, and I'm not trying to get all political, but my thought was always, just because the laws changed in this country about how you can treat people, it doesn't mean that the attitudes about the people that were treating them terribly change at the same time.
True.
You've got to evolve as a league. You've got to evolve as owners and people. So the rule is in place to force them to look at some of these candidates. And I think it should be. But part of it has to be about, you know, deserving it. Like, not that I'm saying Joe Judge does over an Eric Bieniemy, but Eric Bieniemy isn't even the play caller in Kansas City. So does that deem him worthy?
But neither was Matt Nagy.
I'm just making the point.
Frank Reich. There was a lot of guys under the Andy Reid coaching tree in Philly and Kansas City weren't the play callers, but it's turned out okay.
Sure.
To where you go, hey, okay, that's one thing. The thing that I think is a bigger problem is because, like you said, there's a lot of organizations that see this rule and just try to circumvent it. They don't see it as a legitimate way to make things better and really tighten things up in the NFL and get candidates that you can come in and talk to. Maybe you were or weren't considering them otherwise, but you can maybe learn something. And you can maybe learn about somebody that may be someone on your radar. If it's not this time, it's going forward. But I can't tell you how many times in the NBA you saw a guy where all of a sudden you, and in the NFL in past years too, where they say, hey, so-and-so's our leading candidate. It's almost a done deal. But we're bringing in, and you know it's an African-American coach.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, they had to the elephant in the room was, yeah, I know I'm not getting the job, but then you got to sugarcoat it and go, but I want the interview experience. So I'm going to go anyway, and I'm going to go through the process when you know damn well that the media has already basically told you the writing's on the wall. They're going to hire somebody else. That's where I think it's BS. And that's where I think the league, and it's tough because you can't say that you know exactly what we're thinking. You know that we're going to hire Kevin Stefanski of the Vikings, and so therefore we just did this to kind of appease the rules. It's a fine line because there's no way you can definitively say what an owner's thinking.
Here's where I think Stephen A's missing the mark a little bit, and it's not that I don't disagree with him that it's a sham the way that they talk about the rule and then circumvent it or just placate the rule, right? But I think it's got to start at the lower levels, and it was the point I was making earlier about there's 10% of the head coaches in the NFL that are African American, and I feel like you've got to start with coordinators and assistants, and you have to give more opportunities to non-white coaches. We won't just say African Americans, but non-white coaches need to be given an opportunity at that level to get better, to get to that position. Because when you look out at the qualified, not forget skin color, let's just talk about qualified candidates to be a head coach in the NFL. And if you want to throw in retreads, we can certainly throw in retreads. But if I mentioned Hugh Jackson earlier, okay. I mean, do you really think Hugh Jackson is a qualified, capable, NFL head coach? I don't think so. Vance Joseph was another guy. And I'm just looking at the Marvin Lewis tree. There's several African-American coaches under the Marvin Lewis assistant coaching tree that you could point at. Vance Joseph was the guy that got an opportunity. Leslie Frazier is the guy that might get an opportunity. But do these make them qualified and are they good enough? Now, the question becomes, well, what makes Greg Roman qualified and good enough?
I'm looking at the screen right now. The Browns to be interviewing Josh McDaniels Friday, Jim Schwartz, the Eagles defensive coordinator, and Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. All white guys.
Yep.
I don't know the Browns have interviewed an African-American candidate yet.
And does that make them any better than Marvin Lewis or Eric Bieniemy?
You bring up a good one in my mind, because if you watch that Texans game like we all did, Leslie Frazier used to be the head coach of the Vikings, and Leslie Frazier knows defense like nobody's business. He is on it, and he's got a hell of a defense that he built in Buffalo.
Yep.
That guy should be, and now they're not playing anymore. There's a guy that should be getting some interviews.
Yep. I feel like this is it's got to be a fine line, and it's such a difficult discussion to have because you have to talk about fairness, but you also have to talk about qualifications, right? Like we talked about Leslie, but I'm not giving Vance Joseph another opportunity. I didn't think he was a good head coach.
He crapped the bed in Denver, right?
There are plenty of white head coaches that crap the bed that don't deserve another opportunity, and just because someone's African American doesn't exclude them from that list of not being qualified.
And that's an absolutely valid argument. I think the devil's advocate argument, and I don't necessarily disagree with you at all, is that if you just look at sheer numbers, the percentage of African Americans in the NFL, it's probably somewhere in the ballpark of 65-70% versus white Americans. You're telling me that less than a 5%, less than a fraction of those African Americans are not qualified to be a head coach in this league? I think that's why guys like Stephen A. Smith is upset. And it's actually, what better voice, whether you like or dislike Stephen A. Smith, what better voice, a black guy on ESPN who's absolutely going to impact the way teams think because his voice is so big and so strong, what better guy to represent that? I think just based on sheer numbers, there is justification. I think the other point that I'll make on this is the Rooney Rule is a bit dated. Let's be real. They introduced this way back in the early 2000s when obviously they knew that this was a problem. Maybe they need to evolve it. Maybe they need to add some things to it to make it a little bit more fair in terms of giving more African Americans an opportunity.
So it's not just because look, if you're taking Hugh Jackson or you're taking Marvin Lewis, who's been constantly associated with a guy that hung onto his job forever but underachieved over and over again, you kind of are, the writing's on the wall.
Right.
But then you also take into consideration who is one of the best and biggest success stories ever from a position coach given a head coaching job? Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin was the defensive back coach in Tampa Bay, took over the Steelers. They went, who? What are you doing? What's this? Look what he's doing. And look how long he's been doing it.
I think he's one of the He's one of my favorite coaches.
Well, the top
in the NFL.
Coaches in the league, yeah. And he is every single year. And the job he did this year when he lost Big Ben after losing Antonio Brown, after losing Le'Veon Bell, after losing Ryan Shazier, and the fact that no one gave him a chance of even being anything but a team looking for the number one pick in the draft, they were in it to the last weekend. He's a hell of a coach. So, yeah, I think that you're right, Nick. I think they've got to update this rule if they're going to keep it in place. If not, then admit it's a sham and just make it go away, which is also a bad look.
But at the very minimum, they try to do something. At the very minimum, if they're just going to introduce these African-American coaches just so they can get that, just to satisfy the Rooney rule, at least it gives the African-American the person to sell himself. Whether or not he was going to get hired or not, maybe he says something in the interview to stand out and separate himself versus the other candidates. Now, if that's not a big enough deterrent, then yeah, maybe you should update it or add something to the Rooney rule. But at the very minimum, the NFL did acknowledge that. They try to put a rule in place. At the end of the day, the owners, these are their businesses, just like you said, Barry, and they have to make a decision on what they feel is a qualified candidate.
Somebody texted the show and said, this race card BS is getting old. Yes, I am a white male, 37 years old, but why does everything have to be white versus black? Why can't someone just hire the people they want to hire? Because the problem is the fact that you're a 37-year-old white man and don't understand about racism doesn't surprise me. You probably have never had to deal with racism.
Right.
So you've never been turned down for a job or excluded from an interview process because of your race. Now, that's just an assumption. I'm not saying you have or haven't. But what I'm saying is the mindset of the owners and the mindset of the people in the position to hire is the reason that the Rooney Rule exists. It's because their mindset has been in the past, African American coaches are inferior to white coaches. And you can tell me that I'm lying, but I'm not, because I'll prove it to you. The same thing was true about quarterbacks. If you remember back in the day, oh, black men can't be quarterbacks. They're not smart enough. They're not good at. They're not this. They're not that. It was an absolute sham. It was just pure, unadulterated racism. That's all it was. You can tell me I'm lying. You're just not looking at the truth. The fact of the matter is, black men weren't allowed to be quarterbacks because they weren't deemed worthy to be that. And that's the issue that goes on with coaching. And that's why the rule was put in place to try to force a change in mindset. But I'm gonna tell you right now, nothing's going to happen until these old men.
That's
move
the
on.
Thing. The numbers Nick
that's,
gave.
That's when the mindset changes, is when you bring in people that didn't grow up in an era of racism to run these companies that don't see race as an issue.
And the numbers that are important, just like Nick said, about 70% of the league is African American. But about what besides the owner in Jacksonville, is there another owner in the league that isn't just an old white guy?
That's what I'm saying. Minds don't change. Like, rarely do you see someone that felt that an African American was inferior just all of a sudden be like, you know what, I was wrong. It changes over time.
Doug Williams was a bigger story than it had to be.
Absolutely.
Because he was a black quarterback that won the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we can continue to talk about this, but this is something that, look, we thought that you guys would have an opinion on. So if you want to chime in the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, obviously let us know what you think. We're going to continue to roll on. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you the Rockets are back in action on a doubleheader on the road starting tomorrow night in Atlanta and then OKC. But they're coming back after that, and you have a chance to capitalize. It's a guy's night out. Make it a guy's night out at the Rockets versus the Blazers game, January the 15th at Toyota Center. It's presented by Budweiser. Carmelo Anthony is coming back as a member of the Blazers, and you can be there. You can get a ticket for as low as $29, and you get choice of a beer or soda, a large hot dog, and a Rockets bottle opener, all part of the package. And you get to see great NBA action between your Rockets, who are climbing the charts in the Western Conference, against a Western opponent, conference foe in the Trailblazers. You know Damon Lillard, and you know the fact that they have Carmelo Anthony. It's going to be a great game, and you could be there at a great price, starting as low as $29. A great way to spend a night out in Houston. It's a guy's night out. Grab your tickets. Grab your buddies. Go to Rockets.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, Matt Rhule intends to hire quarterback coach of the Lions, Sean Ryan.
There you go.
As his offensive coordinator.
Sweet.
There's a name that'll knock your socks off. Want to bet he's white, Barry? Just asking a question.
First of all, somebody texted and said, hey, Joel, thanks for the Infuse Energy tip. They gave me a great deal.
Telling you, man.
Props to that.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
If you want to be a head coach, be the best available coach on the market. I'm in sales. I'm held accountable for my quota, not my skin color or how I've been treated. You want to be a head coach? Should be the best on the market, plain and simple. That's a great philosophy, and I agree with you 1,000%. And I said as much, that sometimes it has to do with the best qualified candidate and not skin color. But the problem is, not everybody thinks like that. And there are people that exist in the position of power to hire that think that just that your skin color alone is a negative in being able to do your job. And that's why those rules have to exist. So I'm not disagreeing with your philosophy of best available, whether they be black or white, but there are people out there that will look at the two coaches and then the black coach may be a little bit better, but they'll go, I'm going to be more comfortable with a white guy. That's just a fact. And that's why these rules exist. Period.
Sean Ryan? You know where he started?
Where?
Wide receiver coach for the Texans.
Oh, geez.
He was the wide receiver coach for your Houston Texans and the quarterback coach for your Houston Texans. Before being the quarterback coach for the Detroit Lions, he's now going to be the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. And he's white. Just letting you know. Mm-mm. Yeah. So there's that. And look, I would say this. To give credit where credit is due, I mentioned Mike Tomlin as maybe the greatest position coach that took a job, or one of the recent success stories. John Harbaugh is the other one. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach, I believe, with the Eagles. I got the Ravens job, and look what he's done. So we also got to at least have some pause in saying, yeah, it's a position coach, and yeah, it's a name we don't know. But, you know, stranger things have happened, as we give you two examples.
By the way, if your number ends in 6315, just stop texting. First of all, you're sending books upon books of text. Just stop. I'm not reading all that garbage. So there you go.
They're just getting overly passionate again?
Well, you know, people can't have rational conversations about race anymore. It always has to be so divisive. It's okay to just have a conversation, and sometimes it's okay to disagree, and sometimes it's okay to find middle ground. But people get so passionate about being right, and instead of listening to, other theories or maybe rational thought, just relax, man. You guys get so defensive about these topics, when in reality we're just having some discussions, and you know it's okay to not agree with us 100%, or it's okay to agree with us 100%. But you guys lash out like you're childish. Like, get over yourself. Punch yourself in the face. Snap out of it, you weirdos.
Wow, we went from getting over ourselves to punching.
Yeah, I mean, well, some of these dudes are weird, man. Hey, well, then, why come there's no Chinese head coaches? Oh, my God. Just throw yourself out of the car right now, you weirdo. Jesus.
The opinions of Barry Laminack do not represent those of Gal Media, Nick Sciarra, or Joel Blank.
Again, I realize that, I would like to think that most of the people listening to us are rational adults, but they're not. You start getting these idiots that are like, well, then there should be more. Well, really, well, how many Asian assistant coaches are there in the NFL? Dude, just stop lashing out because you're an angry white man. Stop.
I mean, look, and the thing is obviously you still have to have qualifications, but when we look at when it becomes more of an equal playing field, then it won't be an issue.
Exactly.
But it's obviously it's an issue for a reason right now.
Thing. Yeah, it's exactly a mindset thing. That's what it's all about. It is all about mindset and thought. That's it.
There's the first hour of the show, so we still got two to go. Second hour comes right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. All around the world, we can make time. Rubbing and-